Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me is the author of the feedback book, Dawn Sillett. How are you, Dawn?
I'm good, thank you, Miro. Good to be here.
It's good to have you again on our series of podcasts this week. And Dawn has been joining us throughout the week to talk about different aspects of work and how we can improve our well-being, how we can collaborate better with other people. And the subject of today's podcast, managing people, which is a large and very interesting topic. We cannot wait to hear what Dawn has to say about it. We've covered collaboration and well-being in our previous podcasts. Today we are grilling Dawn on people management. We are inundated with articles and think pieces about generation X, Y, Z, you know, W123, and how each needs cultivating in a different way. How they work differently, what they expect from work, what they don't like from work. This can understandably get very confusing for any manager. So let's look at how we can tackle this rather large issue. And Dawn, this is your opportunity to tell us a bit more and do a bit of a plug. How important is feedback when managing people? Would you change how you give feedback dependent on the generation they come from? Or would you look at it on a case-to-case basis?
Yes to both of those. I think we do need to figure out how the feedback's going to land with the other person. So we're coming back to empathy here. How are they going to be feeling and thinking when they're on the receiving end of the feedback? We need to see that feedback through their eyes. And I also think we need to be consistent. So there are certain elements that good feedback always has, regardless of the age or stage of the recipient. Those things for me are that good feedback needs to be considered in terms of what exactly am I going to say rather than blurting it out, and considered in terms of how's it going to land with the recipient. It also needs to be completely crystal clear and identify the behaviour that's good or not, but it needs to identify the behaviour, and it needs to be actionable such that the recipient knows what they need to do more of or less of.
Managers and employers need to be more open to shifting job roles with younger generations is, I think, the consensus for a lot of people. Should this attitude apply across the board?
I think, well, we are now approaching the time when we're going to be having, I think, 5 generations at work. At some point.
Has this ever happened before, do you think? Or is this the first time?
I think it could be the first time.
It could very well be.
We've got massive longevity. And a survey out just this week has said that a lot of people in their 60s, a lot of workers in their 60s, envisage themselves carrying on till at least 70.
Wow.
And that's partly out of financial necessity, but also because they want to do it for well-being, particularly mental well-being. Keep them sharp.
Okay, very interesting.
So I think, yes, we've got people coming into the workforce as ever when they complete education, but we will have people sticking around in the workforce for a lot longer.
So you've worked with a variety of clients in various different sectors, and I would imagine they will overlap within different ages, different backgrounds, etc. Is there any sort of overall rule, overall strategy which seems to apply to every single age group?
Every single age group.
We can go from millennials to baby boomers to anything in between that you think is quite effective.
Yeah, I think there are some consistent things. I think people need to be given a clear idea of where exactly the work we're asking them to do, this individual, what we're asking of them, where it fits into the bigger picture. We shouldn't assume they just know, or that it doesn't matter, or the mistake a lot of newly promoted managers make is, well, I had to do it.
So why can't you do it?
Yeah. So, you know, now it's your turn, you're just going to have to do it. That just doesn't cut it. We need to give people the context in which this job, no matter how routine, boring or menial it may be, where it fits into the bigger picture and where it does add value. We need to provide that to people. I think as well, once we've done that, once we've given the context and set the scene, I think we need to let them get on with it. Give them their head, give them some autonomy. I think autonomy is a huge factor in someone's motivation at work. And then, of course, when they've done the job, we do need to give them feedback.
Of course, of course. And you can know all about feedback in the feedback book.
That's right.
Which all relevant links below in the description. However, moving forward. So say your team is made up of equal proportions of people from each generation, different backgrounds, different ages. How would you go about creating shared values and making sure the older generation are not left behind?
I think we can come up with shared values that people can sign up to. For example, around respecting each other, helping each other out, cooperating or collaborating, dare I say. And I think it's important if we've got shared values that we're all really clear about what those are. I think if we have that, that really does help because they're the guiding light for how we behave.
How would you juggle managing a team and coaching individuals? Because I think these are two quite overlapping aspects, perhaps, but very different at their core.
Yes, I think there are times to coach. And I know myself, having done coach training as a manager years ago, you can be a bit zealous when you first get the coaching bug and you want to coach your team all the time. And I think it's a brilliant toolkit, but it's not always the right tool for the job. Sometimes people simply need to know how they're doing. Sometimes people need to simply be told how to do something. These are the five steps you take, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's not coaching. That's being quite directive. And sometimes it's appropriate. I think weaving it in at the right time and place is great. And that's usually when we want to encourage the person to stop and think, so that they are building the knowledge themselves and realizing what they're learning and thinking for themselves because of the questions that we ask when we're coaching.
Can you tell us what are your top tips are for keeping our diverse team happy in their positions? And by diverse, we mean not only the literal meaning, but of course, we here at LID, we talked about diversity of thought today, which was quite an important part of our values. And we all had very different opinions, you know, very different ways of expressing things. And I think these things are quite important. So is there any way that we can direct to any sort of tips where we can make the transition of opinion and thought more pleasurable, if anything?
I think looking at the success rate, there's so much evidence that diverse teams are more effective, more
yes.
productive and more successful. And so I think it's important to celebrate all those successes and then see if we can track back to how all the diverse members of the team made a contribution to it, because then we can appreciate how that diversity is showing up in practice.
With that, Dawn, I would like to thank you so much for giving us some great insight this week on the podcast on all the various topics discussed. And for our listeners, if you would like to listen to the previous discussions that we had with Dawn, of course, links will be on the description and on our podcast page here on the LID Radio website. If you would like to know more about Dawn and the feedback book, of course, all relevant links will be in the description below. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us this week, Dawn.
Thank you, Miro.
And give us all of these great tips. And we look forward to seeing you next time on LID Radio.